back, everybody, to another episode of the podcast to be named later. I am Noah Hiles. He is
Alex Stumpf.
And Alex, 60 years and a day since Bill Mazeroski swung on, what was it, a 1-0 pitch?
Yep.
A 1-0 pitch, hit it over the left center field wall at Forbes Field, and the Pirates won their third World Series crown over a Yankees team that was flat out better than them. But at the end of the day, flags fly forever, and the Pirates, they got the best of the Yankees in that series thanks to a big home run by Bill Mazeroski. It was celebrated yesterday at PNC Park, and you were there. Can you give us a little insight of what it was like inside the Game 7 gang celebration down on the North Shore?
Yeah, for anyone who – have you ever done the Forbes Field?
No, have you?
Listen, I have.
How many times?
I did for the 50th anniversary in 2010. I skipped a class to go with my dad.
Oh, wow.
As the semester turned out, I probably shouldn't have skipped that class because it ended up dropping me a letter grade.
Oh, would you only get like a 3.9 that semester?
It actually put my scholarship kind of in jeopardy, in grand scheme of things. Okay. I was not a good student that first semester. I got it together. I got it back together after that. But it was similar to if you've ever done the listen to at the Forbes Field, except they didn't have the player walkthrough like they have in the past sometimes. But yeah, it was 25-ish people hanging around listening to the game. It's fun to hear them, you know, joke around, and you know, it's like, oh man, Hal Smith's batting. Why are we having Hal Smith hitting this clutch situation right now? You know, little stuff like that. You know, the type of thing that you could say we all know how the game goes. It's an absolutely ridiculous baseball game, and quite frankly, like one of the greatest ones in baseball history. Like, here's my hot take for the podcast. All right. Game 7, 1960, is the more memorable championship game than like Super Bowl 13 for Pittsburgh. And that one's like forever cited as one of the greatest Super Bowls in history.
I mean, I think the best Pittsburgh sports championship game is Super Bowl 43.
I agree with that, yeah.
Yeah, but I would put Game 7 of the World Series in 1960 probably at number 2. I mean, people forget, like, the Yankee shortstop went to the hospital because he took a ground ball off the throat.
And that was like the D-list story for
yes.
the day.
Like that was something that happened in Game 7 of a World Series. The man took a ball off the Adam's apple and was taken to the hospital because he couldn't breathe properly. And that was like the seventh thing. Like that was probably on like the fifth page of the newspaper the next day.
That didn't even make the nut graph.
It's just a really cool tradition. I mean, for a team that has a lot of history, and the Pirates, at times it gets annoying, you know, just celebrating Pirates history because there hasn't been a lot of recent history to celebrate. It's cool that, A, the wall of Forbes Field is still around. A lot of old stadiums, those things, they get torn down and they're gone forever, and there's nothing but memories left. But to have that outfield wall still in Oakland is really cool. And it's cool that the Pirates acknowledged and recognized this tradition. They didn't have to do this. You know, they had employees come in on a day where they probably wouldn't have been at the ballpark to remember something that happened 60 years ago. And it wasn't for a lot of people. They didn't make a dime off of it. They just had some fans come over and listen to something on the radio. And I'm sure that meant a lot to the fans. And I think it means a lot to the fans that didn't even show up or who weren't able to come. It's a cool idea recognizing not only one of the more memorable moments in Pirates history, but in all of baseball history.
And, you know, for the Forbes wall, like this is Pittsburgh is without doubt, like one of the best sports towns in America, if not like the premier sports town.
Yeah.
And it gets labeled first as like a hockey and football town. But there are so many like they don't have the hockey and football. Penguins and Steelers don't have, it seems like, the monuments, I guess it'd be, for baseball in the city. Like, we have the Forbes Field wall still up. There's the big mural of Clemente. We have a Roberto Clemente Museum underneath, you know, the bridge on Boulevard of the Allies. There's that mural of all the famous baseball players, you know, in Pittsburgh history. It's kind of cool. I mean, yeah. Pirates may not be as beloved as the other two teams at
Definitely
times.
Not.
They're kind of third in the city for more times than not. but this is still a baseball town. That's nice.
Yes. Just to counterpoint your argument, I mean, there is a statue of Franco Harris as soon as you come in on the airport, and they have the spot of the Immaculate Reception marked on the North
you
Shore.
You can walk past that.
You can walk past the wall at Forbes Field, too. I mean, they're very similar. But nonetheless, I'm agreeing with you. It is cool, all the baseball history, and it's not just Pirates history that's recognized in Pittsburgh, which is what makes it even cooler with the Homestead Grays and the Pittsburgh Crawfords. All that stuff getting recognized is all really neat, in my opinion. And Maz is definitely a big part of it. And it's cool that, you know, he's still around to talk about it. I don't think he was at the event today, was he?
He was not,
but
he has been at some of them in the past, but not on Tuesday.
Yeah. And that's a guy that, for all intents and purposes, was not known for what he could do at the plate. And when he probably stepped to the plate in the bottom of the ninth there, everyone was thinking, okay, get a walk, get a single. You know, no one imagined if you were to look at that 1960 lineup, top to bottom, Bill Mazeroski would not have been the one that people would have bet on to hit that home run. And that's also just kind of a reflection on what makes baseball great, is that it rarely is the guy you expect it to be. Now, it has happened where that was the case. I mean, you look at the two biggest home runs in Pirates history, aside from Maz's homer, they were Game 7 homers by probably the two best home run hitters. Well, not two best home run hitters, but two of the top 3-4 players in franchise history, with Clemente hitting the Game 7 homer in 71 and then Stargell hitting the Game 7 homer in 79. So it can be the guy, but if you just look throughout the history of baseball, I mean, David Freese was not the guy that everyone expected to win it for the Cardinals in 2011, but he did. And there's more examples than him. And it's just cool that of all people, it ended up being a defensive guy that had the biggest hit in baseball history. Second segment of the show, and as always, and by always, I mean the last 2 days and hopefully many more days to come, this second segment is brought to you by our good friends at Mike's Beer Bar. Alex, we have a lot of sponsors in this business, but we're lucky to have a good relationship with this one. Other ones, you know, you read the ad read and maybe you get to know them. Maybe it's a bigger corporation. Maybe it's just someone that you can't really interact with, but Mike's is something that's special to both of us. They treat us well there. It's a good quality. It's a good location, and it's awesome. I have nothing but good things to say about Mike's, and I'd encourage everyone to check them out. He has nothing else to add to that. So we're going to jump right in to our second segment now, where we do, are you okay?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I thought that was a good ad read.
Good job, Noah.
Thank you. Thank you. I don't do many things right, but I thought I did that well. Speaking of doing few things well, we're going to discuss Pirates who are remembered for one moment in franchise history. Now, to clarify, this doesn't necessarily have to be like Bill Mazeroski, who is known for hitting the most iconic home run in the history of Major League Baseball. This could be known for a bad moment or a funny moment. Or a moment that didn't even take place on a baseball field or had nothing to do with baseball. We're just going to go do a four-person draft, Alex and I, and we're going to be selecting former Pirates, players, or people connected with the franchise even maybe, who are best known for one moment in franchise history. Alex, would you like the first pick or the next two?
I'll take the second two.
All right. So I will go first, and I'm going to go with a guy who, similar to Maz, had a good career. Not a Hall of Fame-worthy career, but a very good career, but known for one iconic performance. I'm going to go with Doc Ellis, who, if you know anything about Doc Ellis, you know he threw a no-hitter, and allegedly...
No.
Yeah,
he did.
Yeah, he threw a no-hitter on LSD, which is pretty freaking awesome. Never did LSD, never threw a no-hitter. I'd imagine both are very difficult. In combining them, it would be very, very, very difficult. So good for him. Great story. Great, great documentary on. I think it's still on Netflix. The documentary.
I don't know if it is. If not, it's not hard to find.
Yeah. So, all right, you're on the clock.
All right, my first pick is I was a little afraid because whenever we were coming up with this, Noah started laughing to himself. So I'm going to take him right now. So this isn't like a third or fourth round steal for him. I'm going to pick Randall Simon,
okay,
who is known for one thing and one thing only, and that is hitting that poor sausage in the head. And if you didn't listen to Noah's interview with Jack Wilson, great stuff on like the behind the scenes of what happened that day.
Yes.
That was a lot of fun. I hate to tell you, you've done good work on Memory Lane, but that's my favorite one so far, just for the Randall Simon stuff.
Oh, I mean, that's still one of my favorites, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. It's all downhill from there. I'm sorry.
Okay.
And the second one, this is also from about the same era in baseball history, but Rob Mikowiak, known for absolutely going ham in a doubleheader on the day his son was born. I think you looked it up. Like, his son's like 14 or 15 at this point now. So he's, you know, going to be driving.
He has a recruitment profile.
Yeah, that's what
it was. On 247 Sports or Rivals or something like that.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah. But yeah, Mac Daddy. I mean, guy who in the city you associate with one thing. And you know what? He was a good ball player.
All right. So Rob Mikowiak and Randall Simon. You're showing your age there.
Yes, I am.
I am going to go with my second pick. I'm going to keep it old school. I'm going to go with Rennie Stennett. I think he went 7 for 7.
Yep.
And he might have been the only player in MLB history to do that. I know he was at the time. I don't know if anyone's ever matched him. We'll have to look that up. But Rennie Stennett is going to be my second pick. He was part of the 71 World Series team, I believe, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll take him off the board. And for my third pick, man, there's a lot. I'm going to go with John Wehner.
Yeah.
Known, you know, a defensive guy, but if we're talking iconic Pirate home runs, a hometown kid who did not hit a lot of homers throughout his whole career, hitting the final home run in Three River Stadium is a pretty special story. And I'm going to go with John Wehner as my third pick.
Two solid picks right there.
Okay.
Do I get one or two here?
You get two here. You finish out your draft.
All right. I finish out the draft. Well, I'm going to start out. I'm going to say two words. And this person is so iconic for these two words. I'm not going to say anything else to follow it up.
Yeah. Yep. Go ahead.
Derek Bell.
Operation Shutdown.
And my fourth.
Yep.
Is not even a player.
You didn't even have any positive moments.
This is a positive moment. Okay. Rob Mikowiak was a positive moment.
Oh, that's true. That's true. I mean, hey, some people don't want kids. I don't know.
It was a horrible day. Yeah. His childless life ended.
He's just taking his anger out on the baseball. Like, you know how expensive this is. Just crushing him.
But this is joy. This is a moment of joy. And it's from 2013. The wild card game.
Mm-hmm.
It's not Russell Martin, even though it could be Russell Martin and probably should be Russell Martin. But after the game, someone did something so legendarily stupid.
Do you know the person's name?
I don't know the person's name.
Oh, okay.
I wish I did. But if the person who jumped into the Allegheny is listening to this, it can verify that you were the person who jumped from the Clemente Bridge into the Allegheny. We want you on the podcast.
Yes, 1,000%. We want you on the
podcast.
This
is an open invitation. If you know the guy, like, let's go.
Yes, 1,000%. I'm all in on that. So, Jumper is your fourth and final selection. I have some honorable mentions here. Gift and Gopay.
Yeah.
Would be an honorable mention. If we're going to go with non-Pirates players related to this, Kevin Koch is someone that's infamously known as the former Pirate Parrot. who had some legal issues in 1985.
Okay.
We could put him on this list. But instead, I'm going to end my draft with I have three really cool moments. I'm going to highlight a guy who brought me so much joy when I was probably like 7, 8 years old, watching him just absolutely lose his damn mind. And at the height of his blow-ups, he stole a base, quite literally. Lloyd McClendon is going to round out my draft. Just an absolute legend. So, Alex, looking back at our drafts, I have Doc Ellis, Rennie Stennett, John Wader, Lloyd McClendon. You have Randall Simon, Rob Mikhovyak, Derek Bell, and the man who jumped off of the Clemente Bridge. I think I won this draft.
This is a good draft. This is our best draft so far.
This is a really good one. Let us know who won. Go ahead and give us a holler on social media. Comment on the site. We love reading your comments.
Especially if you have information on the jumper. I threw that, like, that popped into my head as I was doing that little spiel right there. I didn't have that prepared, but no, I really, really want.
Yeah.
That might end up being an article at some point.
Oh, for sure. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's, he didn't get hurt or anything.
No, that was the legendary part about it. He just got, everyone saw it. It's like, what the hell are you doing? And he's like, no, I'm good, guys. I'm good.
That's insane. Were you at the game?
I was not at the game. I didn't go to any of the wild card games.
Yeah.
Did you?
No, I was in college. I was in Ohio. Yeah. Just, you know.
I mean, Ohio's not that far away.
Yeah, I know. I didn't have a car. And I was also pledging a frat during that time. So, like, yeah, I was kind of hiding, you know, while I was watching those games. Be sure to follow us on social media. Leave a comment if you have any content ideas, or if you can get us in contact with the jumper. We'd love to have him on the show, or anything else you want to hear us talk about as this baseball season wraps up and comes to a close here. Hit that subscribe all button if you haven't already, and leave us a comment on the podcast platform in which you so choose to listen to us. Thanks for tuning in. We will talk to you more tomorrow.